this this incredulity is amazing in a way, isn't it? But not in another. See, we're used to the words, the images, the concepts, but are we used to the reality? How real is Jesus to us? In other words, the concept, the image, has been floating around through the world now for 2 millennia. So, and we believe, I mean, we're not total unbelievers, but it's so familiar. Jesus of Nazareth was killed and is alive and has shown himself to be the eternal living Son of God. That's why we're here this morning. All those words are so familiar, we say, yeah. Well, why don't we stop saying that and ponder this? Jesus is alive. Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Father. Jesus is here in this chapel with us. The church teaches us that when these texts are read out, it is still Jesus Christ proclaiming his gospel. So Jesus just proclaimed that gospel. And he uses me, insofar as I'm willing to yield, to preach the gospel. That's what's going on here. See, even all those words are so familiar. Yeah, that's fine. And who won the game last night? You know, the challenge to our faith is to let ourselves be challenged. How real is this? What's it going to do to the rest of our day? Who are we going to tell about it? You see? Go out into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Well, they had a special vocation, and they all but one died as martyrs in performing it. But the commission is still ours. It's very interesting, you see. And then you see how nothing replaces experience. That's the reason why right after Vatican II, the Holy Spirit poured out the baptism in the Spirit, so that there would be convinced people who could implement this whole new rebirth of so many aspects of the church's life. Liturgy in English. Scandalous. The role of the laity, which is still being pondered and developed. Cardinal Ratzinger, when he was cardinal, had gave a discourse on the fact that the laity are like the direct arm of the Pope. Well, we better get ready. I don't have to get ready. I'm not a layman. But so these fellows who are fishermen from the north, you see, they saw these are some of these guys from Nazareth, from Galilee, that used to be with Jesus. And so that's an easy mark. Except standing next to them was a man who was crippled from birth, who's now standing there totally healed. What are you going to do about that? You see the role of signs and wonders? It's to witness to the resurrection. And we can get distracted by them. But if they perform their function, they are signs of the reality and the majesty of Jesus. So they gave them a stern warning, never again to speak to anyone in this name. Now, what a futile thing to do. But I'm pointing this out so that we can examine our own conscience, because we, of course, we're not opposed to the resurrection, but we we don't always catch it, you see. So they call them back and they order them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Now, these are the senators of the country, if you will. And they've called in a couple of construction workers and said, don't you dare do that anymore. And Peter says, whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. That's very lovely chutzpah. You see, based on a fact, the living, glorious, loving reality of Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate, you see. For it is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. Well, what about us? We weren't there at the resurrection or at those appearances before our Lord went to heaven. But we've seen and heard enough, haven't we? So it's impossible for us not to speak about it. I mean, look at all our neighbors. I mean, maybe they're all mystics and I don't know it, but a lot of them, they don't know what they're doing. And with all the financial problems, you know, what's on their mind all day? How are we going to reach them? How are we going to talk to them? We have to find a way, don't we? You see? So after threatening them further, they release them, finding no way to punish them. So, and the reason they couldn't punish them is because all the people were praising God for what had happened. So you can see that there are several reasons why the Lord heals. One, he heals because he has compassion. And he heals, we've all seen healing. We all know about that. But the deeper thing is, who is doing the healing? Jesus, risen from the dead. And that's the other reason for healing and other signs and wonders. Preach the gospel known. Our Lord had decided to give that man, everybody knew about him. I've said this almost every day this week, haven't I? But I mean, when I hear this story, I think of those blind Muslims by the Damascus Gate every Friday. With their, you know, the way the Oriental can get down and holding out their hands, and they're blind. Maybe 20 of them. If one of them were healed, everybody in Jerusalem would know about it in a half hour. So here's this man, well-known, and well-known to be a cripple. And now he's standing and leaping and dancing and enjoying himself. Well, how, you see? Jesus healed him. That's so real. You see, as I was praying upstairs, I kept thinking, well, you know, the words, the concepts, they're familiar. So we can assent, yeah, Jesus is risen from the dead. Well, whoa. Has the reality impacted us? You see, these people, even the concept was too new. But now for 2,000 years we've been saying this. Do we know it? Do we know it? You know, that reminds me of, but it's just another way to sort of preach the same thing. I have a nephew who's now probably 60 by now. Anyway, he was three or four years old. And he was in a Montessori school. We were walking through the woods together. And he said to me, my teacher tells me that there is no God. I said, well, she's wrong, Jimmy. He said, how do you know? I said, I was just talking to him this morning. So you see, the Lord gave me that, and he's never forgotten it. You know, he's the assistant district attorney in the state out there now, but he hasn't wandered that far from his faith. You see, it's we have to let it be real. And so we pray for that. And one of the dimensions of the baptism in the Spirit is to provide an experiential faith, a conscious faith. And this whole year of faith and of evangelization is founded on a living, conscious faith. How do I get one of those? Prayer. Go every day and pray. And let the Word of God come off the page to you. Well, I have to quit now. We never got around to Mark's Gospel. These are the last words in the Gospel of Mark. And everybody recognizes, they're inspired, they're part of the canonical text, but they're not by Mark. Because there's somebody, we don't know what happened. In chapter 16, verse 8, and they ran away from the tomb and they told nothing to anyone because they were afraid. End of gospel. So did a page fall out? You know, why does it end like that? And so to make it end like the other gospels, an inspired editor put in these accounts that we find, as you just heard, you know, they take, we don't have it here so much, but if you look at Mark, these are the summations of the accounts in other gospels. Finish Mark, because it's, well, you got the picture. Huh? Now, why would that happen? For this very reason, so we don't get so used to the images and the concepts that we don't know whether we really believe the reality or not. Get shocked a little bit. That's what healing does, even among Christians. All of a sudden, Jesus is real. I think you get the picture. Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature.